Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you have any suggestions for our trivia or our list segment that happened at the end of the show, you can holler at us on Twitter at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, at TSB Pod. Also, because we appreciate you listening so much to this show, we would like to include you. So holler at us on Twitter or leave a comment on a Facebook post if you would like to be part of a Zoom segment. We have some fun ideas for games, and we want you guys to be a part of it. So just holler at us. Okay, bye.
It's that fire, gas alive. It'll burn slow, casually, gradually. Defying gravity as I let go. No wires, I'm flying. Magic rack, pull a hat out of rabbit.
That's a big fucking Xbox headset, by the way.
I don't know.
Jesus.
Just trying something different out.
Yeah, I'm with it. I have like this mixer and like microphone that can go with it, USB connector for my laptop. I just haven't had a chance to test it or see if it actually works with Zoom or anything like that. So I have all this like super professional radio equipment.
I mean, that sounds like you should have the soundboard going with that.
I'm saying, right? I know, I could totally hook that up, I think. I mean, so that's somebody's job, but, you know, whatever. Artists are just going to not hold them accountable. It's cool. No, it's cool. Just have a worse product is all. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It's a product. Fucking podcast. So today the news came down finally from the Washington Post about Dan Snyder and the racist skins, also the sexual harassment skins. Is that a thing we can call them now? So 15 women accused the team of harassment and verbal abuse by scouts and then members of Snyder's quote-unquote inside circle. The former director of pro personnel, Alex Santos, former assistant director to that job, Richard Mann, and radio play-by-play guy, Larry Michael, all apparently left the team or were relieved of their jobs. I don't know how that actually worked last week. There are no allegations against Snyder himself for that or Bruce Allen, the former GM. But they did say Snyder was just basically kind of a tyrant to all of his employees. The team hired the attorney who worked on the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearing, as well as worked with the NCAA and MLB in some class action lawsuits and stuff like that. So they hired a really big attorney to kind of review the protocols and the culture and then the allegations against the place. And so I remember we last couple days had heard that this sort of thing was something was about to drop about them. And it was kind of like going to blow up the franchise, everything. Dan Snyder was going to be, you know, whatever, kicked out of the league for something. We don't know what. There was talk that it might be like them paying off referees or something like that. And then it ends up being this, which is obviously
clearly they didn't, because they didn't win any fucking games.
Yes.
So they weren't paying anyone off for wins. So I think we all at least knew that.
Yeah, exactly.
I did see that I think it was a bunch of minority owners. I don't know if it was because of the sexual harassment suit thing that just is happening now, or if it was, you know, the whole name thing, but they're wanting out.
I think it was a combination of both.
Because
hearing the fact that they relieved these people of their jobs last week means they knew that this was happening, because obviously the Washington Post is not going to print a story without going to them with the information and asking for a comment. And so they knew that this stuff was going to come down, and they knew the people who were involved. And so obviously they let them go. Again, I think Washington is in a really tough spot right now, because you're already accused, and rightfully so, of being racist in that you have a racist name and a racist logo, which there is no argument that it's not. And then you have sexual harassment allegations coming out as well. And so I don't know.
Can they pull like a Sterling and have like the owners, can they just boot Snyder, force him to sell? Cause that's kind of what, that's what they did with Sterling, right? They kind of, NBA and the other owners just pretty much told him he had got to sell the shit, right?
Well, I think one of the differences there is that Sterling wasn't making money in the LA market, where Snyder, they're still making money. So yeah, they could take the moral high ground.
May have revenue sharing and stuff too, but yeah. They do with like the TV deals and stuff like that.
No, they do. But I'm just saying that I think a big reason that they finally got rid of Sterling is they were like, we have this just franchise in LA that's just rotting.
Yeah.
Where, you know, DC, even if they stink, they still bring in gobs of money. Because the NFL and everyone does.
She thought his was more of like for the brand, like for the whole, it was better to have a second LA team be good.
Pretty much. So, pretty much.
Just use the guise of his racism to just run him out of town.
And basically, there's no excuse for being bad in LA as a basketball team. There really isn't. Even if you are the Clippers and you have a history of being bad, like there's no excuse. And we've seen since Ballmer took over that he's made them at least competitive.
Yeah.
You're gonna say the same thing for college football teams in LA?
Mm. Bruins.
Mm.
Give it Kelly.
I know. Do we even want to go there and talk? No. Okay.
But like.
Where does the NFL go from here?
I guess my thing is this story much worse than the story that came out a couple years ago about the Redskins, about them taking the cheerleaders down to like Costa Rica or whatever and having them do like naked photo shoots and become escorts for big donors? It's all terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But is it much worse than that? To where the other owners would really be like, hey, he's got to go.
Well, I think I go the other way with that, because that, in addition to this, shows that it's a cultural thing. And if it's a cultural thing and it's been going on for, like, obviously we're talking about that and now we're talking about this. So we're talking about years and years and years, as long as Dan Snyder's been in charge of the place. If that's the case, and if the NFL is serious, so beyond the NFL, beyond sports, this is a workplace. And so if a workplace is going to allow this sort of thing to happen on a regular basis, the people in charge cannot be in charge anymore. Like that's basically how it works. And since you are an organization like the NFL and you have people in charge, supposedly, who care about this sort of thing, then at some point they got to step in and be like, look, this is bad for business. Like you are running you're going to get us sued and we don't want to get sued. And so you got to go. And so I don't know if that's going to be Snyder
do they want to make an example maybe of Snyder? Who knows how prevalent this is in the NFL, you know, it could be with other teams, maybe, you know, you sniff it out now, snuff it out now, so it doesn't spread to, you know, maybe it's running rampant in the NFL.
Well, my guess is Snyder comes out next and says he's going to have the bad apples argument, where he's going to say, this is a couple of guys who are just doing something that, you know, we found out about it last week and we let them go because this sort of thing is not acceptable in our organization. And then you're going to have people come out and say, no, Dan Snyder knew about all of this stuff. We went to him and he didn't do anything. And then Dan Snyder's going to be on the hot seat again. And then it's going to take the owners, because Goodell can only do so much. But if the owners come in and say, hey, this is bad for business, he can't represent the rest of us. Then he could be forced out. It's tough to force someone to sell their business if there isn't an actual, because this is an accusation, And I haven't seen anywhere that this is a lawsuit.
Well, that's going to be a big thing. If this turns into a lawsuit,
that's going to be a lawsuit.
A lot of money coming out of his pocket.
And by the way, the league could be held liable for that kind of thing, too. Just because they're the ones who fund and employ, per se, Snyder and the rest of the organization. So, yeah, we'll see. But like I was saying, I think it's going to take the other owners kind of stepping in and
You'll know how bad it actually is when you start seeing some chess pieces falling here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if word starts coming around about, you know, maybe that's what they do, then it must be really fucking bad with what's happened.
Well, the other owners got to be tired of this crap, like tired of hearing about this. I mean, they're obviously happy that it's not them, but they got to be tired of hearing about it, because this is kind of it's a nice distraction from people talking about their supposed season that's going to come up, even though it's not. So they don't really have to address all that other stuff right now because of it. But this constant like BS coming from that organization, it doesn't reflect well on the rest of the league either. Well, so they gotta be tired.
Let's not put the NFL on like a moral high ground here.
Of course.
You know, players, you know, keep playing for, you know, domestic assaults and things like that. But if it starts, you know, factoring into the bottom line there and starts costing them money,
Is there a line there that they draw between like player behavior and behavior in their offices?
I could see them holding the front office at a higher standard than the players.
Yeah.
You know, which is weird because that's, you know, the product. That's kind of what you would want to have at a higher standard, but.
Especially because you're paying them so much more.
Right.
It did just pop into my head that we're using the Donald Sterling example of kind of getting your franchise taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's the Panthers, and who the fuck cares about the Panthers? But it wasn't that long ago that they forced Jerry Richardson to sell the Panthers because of kind of the same stuff, actually.
Yes, they did.
A lot of, hey, encouraging the women to wear tight denim and short skirts. And I think there may have been a little bit of racism in there, too. But I forgot about that. Like, it was 2017, 2018, they made him sell. And he sold really quick. Once the owners flipped, he sold like that.
Yeah, it was like 2017, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, he looks like the, dictionary definition of rich, white, old man.
Jerry Richardson?
Yeah.
Have you...
In the NFL?
No, in general.
Yeah, the NFL as a whole?
Speaking of Jerry Richardson, have you seen the Jerry Richardson statue outside the Panther Stadium that was recently, like a month ago, torn down? But have you seen it with him and the two Panthers leaping out?
I don't think I have.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking at it
right now.
Those Panthers are hung like a 20-pound sack of potatoes. It is amazing. It's super graphic.
All right, I got to zoom in here. They got balls and everything.
I don't understand why.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't – I mean, they don't have, like, a huge, like, wang hanging there or anything like that.
They got some balls.
They do have some balls. Wow.
Yeah.
The artist decided to – I wonder if that was, a Jerry Richardson decision.
Oh,
like
had to have been.
The artist came back with a rendering.
He probably thought it was symbolism.
We didn't have no Lady Panthers.
We got balls.
We got balls.
We got balls in this franchise.
Find out he's obsessed with balls. The teeth definitely got bigger after he saw the first rendering. Jesus. Yeah, that's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, if I owned an NFL franchise, I might make a statue of myself. I'd probably put it in my office, though.
Would you give yourself big old balls like the Panthers? Would you make it – so you make – okay, you own an NFL team, right?
No, I'd make my statue with like really tight pants and just the bulge yeah, that goes down near the knee.
Right down the knee, exactly. Where it's subtle. It's not super graphic, it's like, but when you see it, you're like, oh shit, that's 16 inches of man. Good on our owner.
You better believe it. Oh no.
That's why they call him the snake.
We immediately follow the talk of 15 women accusing Dan Snyder of sexual harassment with that.
Fair enough.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. So we'll see where the NFL decides to go here. But I don't know. Again, we haven't seen if this is a lawsuit yet. So lawsuit, you know, litigation kind of changes the game, as because most of these owners have, you know, court cases they're dealing with on a daily basis for just stuff they deal with in their businesses. And so they're well versed in this sort of thing, but it does change things in terms of public perception. And the NFL likes to act like they care about public perception with things. And so if it's a sexual harassment thing that looks like it's the organization doing something on a regular basis for a long time, then they're probably, you know, going to have to step in and do something at some point. Not have to, but they probably will. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. You guys got anything else on this?
No.
No? All right. So Mark Emmert came out and said, I think it was today, that if the NCAA football were, if they had to make a decision on it right now, none of the colleges would play college football this fall. Which leads me to think, why aren't you making the decision right now? Like, it's the middle of July. Are we hearing anything about a vaccine coming down and anything changing for the better right now in our society? In any state in the union, has it been getting better?
I will say, I think Oxford University, I think it came out today that their vaccine is way ahead of schedule.
Good stuff.
I know something matter. Just went
doesn't,
into
doesn't the... really matter in the scheme of college football.
Right.
But, you know,
it does. No, it does. It absolutely does.
Eh. So they
went to like phase 3 testing on it, which is like, I think it's like 40,000 people.
Yeah.
It's like sample size. So yeah,
Is that the same one? Because that came out a couple days ago.
I don't know. There's a bunch of them that are.
I saw like that report. Right, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think we talked about it like a month or so ago, where I read this New York Times thing where the guy was talking about how all of the possible vaccines that are happening, all the ones they're testing and doing through trials right now, all of the possible ones are being mass produced right now. So if they, you know, if one of them happens to work, then they're going to be ready to distribute it throughout the world, basically, like billions of, you know, like vials or whatever. And so they're moving a couple of them, I guess, to the next phase. So they'd be like 30 people in the first phase and then like 3,000 or something, or 30,000 or something in the second phase. And so, you know, but again, that takes time.
Well, again, that's like,
you know what it does? It takes more than a month and a half.
No, that's like, and I think they're all saying like end of the year.
Yeah.
No, it's like, it's like
at the earliest. Yeah. End of the year at the earliest. So now we're, you know, we have Emmert coming out saying that, but like, what's going to change in a month and a half?
Nothing. No, I mean, not even a month and a half, because on the 30th or the 31st of this month, the SEC is announcing what they're doing with football. That came out on Tuesday, I believe.
Right.
Which, I don't know if you guys saw, but people were like, oh my gosh, the SEC is – that's going to be a historic day for college football because the SEC announces X, Y, and Z. No, it's not.
No.
They haven't been a leader on this front at all, and in 2 weeks from now they won't either. If they cancel it, it's because no shit they're going to cancel it. If they don't cancel it, they're going to cancel it in 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah. when they can't let students back on campus.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is people say that like, well, you can't have a season if there's no students. And it's like, well, some people are like, well, yeah, you can.
You could.
Sure you could. But you can't because once you do that, you basically make the players employ like they can go to court.
They're not student athletes anymore.
Exactly. And argue that they're employees.
You're forcing them to be there.
And you want to know what?
Yeah.
Rob Mullins, the AD at Alabama, whatever, they would deep in the darkness of their hearts, mm-hmm. they'd rather just cancel the season than go through that fucking war. Because they'll lose that war.
Yeah.
If it came to that, they need to protect themselves with the shield of amateurism.
I mean, it's already getting there with California.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida.
And Florida.
I think even here, didn't Oregon pass something?
Can we pass something similar?
Name and image and or likeness, yeah.
Yeah, they already see the writing on the wall on it, but they don't want to, you know, give it that big push for no reason.
Right. I think they know they're going to die, but they don't want to have it be self-inflicted.
Right.
So that they're just kicking the can down the road, but we all know there's not going to be a season.
Well, not like starting here in the fall.
Right, it could be in the spring.
Spring or even maybe late winter there, you know, maybe February, depending on when a vaccine comes out. That's the best way they could tie into a lot of, like, anti-vaxxer people that are, like, big football fans. That's how you get them to take the vaccine. Say, if you want to go see a football game, you know, get shot or whatever the booster is for it.
The joke was, hey, if you want football, wear a mask. SEC country ain't wearing masks. Was it Governor Kemp in Georgia today? Is suing the city of Atlanta because Atlanta's forcing people to wear masks? I mean.
What a fucking douchebag.
What are we doing?
I know. So I looked it up. It looks like this was mid-June. Oregon women's basketball player Sedona Prince and then Arizona State swimmer Grant House sued the NCAA in federal court over the amateurism stuff. So let's see, they're suing the NCAA and all of the Power Five conferences. And are seeking class action lawsuit status there. So yes, Oregon is involved in that as well. And by the way, I don't know who Sedona Prince is. Plays Oregon women's basketball? I've never heard of her.
I think she redshirted because she was hurt.
Okay.
Was she a transfer?
Yeah, it's weird because I follow that team like pretty closely. I've never heard of her.
I'm probably confusing the two. Is she the transfer that transferred
from Texas.
Like Texas?
Yeah, from Texas.
And was injured and has to pay her own medical stuff because of weird transfer rules that Texas can't pick it up and Oregon can't pick it up, but she has to do the, you know, medical stuff to get healthy. I think.
Yep, that was it. So she broke her leg as a freshman at Texas while playing for the USA under 18 national team. And then after that, tried to transfer to Oregon, or did transfer to Oregon. And there was complications with who's going to pay for the broken leg because she didn't do it while she was technically playing for Texas. So, yeah.
Shouldn't that be the U.S. Basketball organization? Right.
You would think so, right?
I feel like they have the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Oregon, do you guys pay attention to recruiting at all?
I just know that Mario's recruiting a monster class.
Yeah. I'm gonna need you to help me with this one because I noticed it on Twitter that people are freaking out over things. But I'm finding it really hard to care about recruiting right now. For several reasons. One is because I don't really in general It's nice to see like big high classes and stuff like that, but we've also seen five-star kids be complete bums. And then, you know, three-star players be Mariota and Herbert. So I have, you know, whatever. Like, yes, in general, five-star athletes are great, cool, whatever.
That's a very UW way of looking at
things. Yeah, right. Well, we have no idea who they are until they actually play a fucking football game. But also, there's not going to be a season, probably. So who fucking cares right now? Well, like, I'm having a really hard time caring about all this college football news that's coming out.
Well, my thing...
Like Oregon scheduling their extra game against Utah. Like, I'm having a hard time taking that seriously because it's not going to happen.
Right. See, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why I'm more weirdly intrigued by recruiting than normal.
And what happens to the new recruits? Because if they give all these kids whose seasons get fucked with, if they give them an extra year of eligibility, there's not going to be a place for them on these rosters, right?
Mario will process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did see Vernon Adams reaching out to Mario on Twitter about becoming like an assistant coach or something because he wants to come back and get his master's degree. Which is interesting because he's still currently on a roster in the CFL. So
he's a starter there still too.
Yeah, he's like starting quarterback for the team he plays for. I forget what it was. It's like, it's not Toronto, is it?
It's
the Alouettes.
Edmonton Eskimos.
Edmonton Eskimos. Okay.
Who are going to have to change your name soon because a little problematic.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
But back to the recruiting thing.
Yeah.
I saw last night that now the trend is that Oregon's going to get not only the number one national recruit, but the number two national recruit, and they're both defensive ends. So let's just play the game, right?
Add those guys to Thibodeau.
So they get, Corey Foreman and JT Tuamanamatiatilo out of Seattle area.
Yeah,
number two.
Sounds like a name.
You pair those two with Thibodeau.
Oh, and then also Justin Flo at linebacker.
Yeah.
And
Sewell at linebacker too.
And one and two linebackers on the outside.
The best defensive front in the history of college football.
Like if you get those two guys, we're just playing, you know, fantasy stuff at this point.
Yeah.
Like Oregon would be like, hey, they might have the best defense in the country.
People are kind of saying that about them right now. They're saying they have the best secondary in the country right now. So you add, couple years from now.
But it's funny to think about because let's say they did that again. We're playing fantasy.
Sure.
Five star. Thibodeau, five star. Flo, five star. Sewell, borderline five. He's a five star on.
He's a five star. Yeah.
Wright was a five star on some. That Manning guy was. So you could talk yourself into there's like 7 5 stars on the defense.
Yeah.
This is like the ladies basketball team. Just nothing but McDonald's All Americans on the.
We're gonna start winning games 13-9.
That's what he wanted, right? That's crystal ball. Right?
I think so. I think
Mashed
so.
Football right there.
That's right. You run up the middle 30 times a game,
and then you just
don't give up any fucking points.
Yeah,
need a quarterback if you only give up 9 a game. Yeah,
there it is.
Verdell's going to leave the school as the top rated rusher of all time because he just got 40 carries a game his last 2 years.
Travis Dye will come in and get his 5 carries a game, fumbled twice.
Wear gloves, Travis.
Jesus Christ, man.
Wear gloves. Wear a mask and wear gloves.
Wear something on your arms at all. It's the weirdest looking thing ever for a running back to not have anything on his arms.
Which is weird because like my favorite look that I always use in high school was like when hitting. I didn't have batting gloves or anything. I'm just the Jason Kendall just.
No, it's different baseball though. No, because you do that, and then you cut off the sleeves, and then you just got the guns. That's it. That's all. You're just showing off the guns anyways.
You piss on your hands at the batter's circle to get an edge. Enough. Yeah.
It was good enough for Moises Alou.
That's right.
Good enough for me.
You got like a spray bottle of piss right. that you just keep on you at all times. You just like spray it on your hand. All right, let's go. It's like, cool. You like splash it on everybody around you. Oh, that's just ski. He just pisses on everything. By the way,
if you rake, you rake. It doesn't matter what you do.
I have it in front of me right now because I was watching some soccer on YouTube earlier.
Obviously. Oh, Tottenham.
Obviously.
Hotspurs.
So one of my recommended videos is some dude, 11-year pro QB Mike Pawlowski. It's a 26-minute video about if Tyler Shuck can fill Justin Herbert's shoes.
26 minutes
on
that?
What the fuck are you going to talk about for 26 minutes with Tyler Shuck taking over for Justin Herbert?
I already know.
26 minutes.
Yeah.
You got 26 minutes on that?
Right. You do the cone drill where they backpedal.
Sure.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then you just, and then 5 minutes is on the swivel. The swivel. You know that Dak Prescott video where
the hips. Yep.
And then once you do that for about 7 minutes, you show the four passes against USC. And then you show the broom drill.
Yeah.
And then you show the block he had against USC.
Uh-huh.
And at that point we're at about 9 minutes, and I don't know what the hell you're doing with the next 15.
No, and then you rotate all of those clips because you don't have any more clips. You're all out. You rotate all of those clips over and over again, cut back to you talking about whatever you're going to talk about. But that's the problem, is you don't have anything to talk about for 26 minutes about Tyler Shuck. You really don't.
If this was John Gruden, he could get it done. He could analyze a single, just his five-step drop back. He could give you a good 5 minutes just on that.
Love that throw, man.
Oof, love that throw, man.
It's a good throw, man. Shuck rhymes with duck, man.
Oof. The way that arm comes out of – the ball comes out of his hand. Oof. Fucking hell. Experts, man. The quarterback experts are like the dorkiest of all experts.
You didn't like Dilfer's Dimes?
Jesus, man. Like, especially when it comes to college kids and – no, especially when it comes to high school kids coming into college. Like the Elite 11 guys and stuff like that, people who break down like the high school kids going into college, like, oh, look at his footwork, blah, 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 blah.
Trent Dilfer. That's Trent Dilfer.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
Like when you brought up Derrick Henry in high school, it's like, is there even a need to say anything?
No. He beasts everybody.
5'8 white guy trying to tackle him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's those videos. Well, that's the thing. That's the difference between like a running back and a quarterback when you're breaking them down. It's like, watch the Reggie Bush highlight video in high school. It's like, yeah, he's really fucking fast and really, really good. End of analysis. And then quarterbacks, they try to break them down like it's actually going to mean something once they step foot on a campus, and it never fucking does. Like, how many things do we hear about Braxton Burmeister before he came to Oregon? About how, four-star quarterback Braxton Burmeister, just look at that footwork. Look at his arm trajectory and shit like that. Like, stop it.
I mean,
stop it.
Achilles Smith is still out there pumping him up because I think Achilles may have been his mentor in high school.
Achilles Smith always held the ball like right on his right shoulder. Never brought it down ever.
I mean, would you take a missile launcher off your shoulder?
I wouldn't. By the way, this is a serious tease to our list segment coming up, so stay tuned for that. Let's see. How about a quick baseball thing? Because opening day is next week.
I know. Like yesterday, right? A week ago yesterday, I think, or a week from today?
Oh, no, a week from today, yeah.
Yeah.
And 11 umpires are not going to be there, apparently. So that's a thing.
Well, it's smart. Smart.
Joe West is not one of those 11 umpires.
Well, I mean, have you seen the contract that the umpires have?
Uh-huh.
If any umpire opts out for whatever reason, I don't want to be there.
Right.
If they play one game this year, that opening game, the Nats versus whoever, That's all they play. If they finish that game, the umpires are sat out, get a full season pay.
Yes, sir.
What
so
a great
why, so
what
why
a
would
great
you
union.
Go why would you go be an umpire?
It sounds like the perfect time for try out some robo umps.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, right?
Right. I mean, it's better than Joe West and like Angel Hernandez fucking calling
Robitussin ups.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
That might help some of their strike zones on Tussin.
That would just complete the circle of shit that will be this MLB season. You know, if there's robo umps this year, it's like the season's already kind of a sham. And a bunch of the really good players, not a bunch, but like some of the really good players aren't going to be playing. Like Mike Trout's not going to be playing and stuff like that. So, you know, the season's cut in half. You know, who knows what the playoffs are actually going to look like? Who knows how many teams are going to make it through the season, like unscathed by coronavirus? Who the fuck knows? But then you add onto that the fact that the entire season is umpired by robots. Like, they'd just be like, okay, can we just play these games, I guess, so people can make money and then strike all of the records from the books and not actually count any of this? Because this is going to be dumb.
Though, to bring it back to the college football thing.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the leagues that are trying to restart and play again, baseball is the model that if you really want college football, mm-hmm. that's the one you look at. Because they're playing home and away, no fans. But, I mean, they're traveling, they're playing in stadiums. They're not in the bubble.
There's no bubble, yeah.
No bubble.
They're sticking mm-hmm. divisions, though, aren't they? Like, East Coast people, I don't think, come out west, really. I thought that was a big part of it. They kind of all stay.
I thought they nixed that. I'm pretty sure they nixed that. Yeah. Let me look something up real quick.
Yeah, I got it, too.
Check out some skids here.
I'm looking up my the schedule for my Oakland A's. By the way, last week's trivia guy, Tom Hanks, born in that area, big Oakland A's fan. So
he's gonna be a pretty big Portland Antifa fan when they move. So
Antifas,
the Antifas,
yeah, Rockies, Texas. Nah, because the A's play the Texas teams. I guess that's probably as far as they're going to go, though.
That's same division, though, so it's...
Yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they do kind of play regional.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the furthest the Mariners go is Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're the extreme team in the middle of nowhere, but...
Yeah,
someone's got to go play them.
All right, I'm not looking through this fucking ridiculous schedule that...
Because I did see that, like... What is it that the Yanks and the Red Sox play like 11 times, like 9 of them are in New York or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some weird, just some really weird quirks.
Like I said, I think about 80, at least 80% of the 60 games are just played interdivisional.
Indivisional, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're adding a round for the playoffs too, right?
No, they nixed that.
They nixed that too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. That's probably for the best.
It's going to be funny because, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you're like, oh, well, hey, the A's are in town for four. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be one of those things where, like, hey, the A's are in town for four. And then we're down in Oakland for four. Hey, and then the A's are back up for three.
Yeah.
That 2-week series against the same team is going to be
good. They face the same four pitchers three times in a row.
Yeah. Go baseball.
Yeah, like that third series of four games, everybody's just fucking raking.
Right, because like,
they know their stuff so much.
I'm sitting here being like, you know, the 60-game season could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, because it's fast and it's furious and there's no 3 months to do nothing. And then I'm like, shit, I have to watch the Royals play the Tigers 40 times. What? Oh, I'm kind of over it now.
Nobody wants to do that.
No.
Nobody. Not even the players do watching film. Like, I'm good.
No, I will say, because they're not televising, but all the teams are throwing up videos of their summer training or whatever they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
The sound of a guy getting good wood.
Oh!
Dropping dick in an empty stadium.
The echo.
It's pretty sexy.
Ugh.
You got that, and then you got the pop of like a 100-mile-an-hour heater just...
Woo! Woo!
Yeah, I'm all for no fucking fans.
Woo!
Same thing with the NBA. If I could get some mics on there and you hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear fucking a bunch of idiots yelling. That's the other thing about golf. I mean, it's been so nice not to hear every time someone hits a fucking golf ball.
Mashed potatoes! Oh! Mashed potatoes! Speaking of crowd noise, you know those, every team has that player where when they trot out on the field, the crowd makes a noise.
Yeah.
But it's not always positive, right? It's kind of a groan or a grumble.
Sure, yeah. Yep.
That brings me to my top three list of the week.
Ooh! Well done.
Your top three, or it could be bottom three.
Yeah, I'll say the bottom three, yeah.
Least favorite University of Oregon quarterbacks of all time.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, so I'm wondering, because I know your experience with this king on Twitter. I'm wondering if all three of your lists is just Jeff Lockie.
It's Dylon. It's hot fire.
Can you confirm or deny that that is the case? Well, oh, snap.
Yeah, he's kind of sleepwalking, I think.
Yeah, we got a cameo. So Cade made many cameos back in the day. I remember Cade was in studio with us back day. And that's not Cade.
No, that's Bennett. Yeah.
Bennett is like older now than Cade was back then.
He was.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're old fuckers, man.
We are old.
Yep. All right, so it's not Jeff Lockie then. Okay. Not
all three. Let's
okay. All right. I'm gonna start. Can I start?
Go for it.
All right. My number three is junior year Dennis Dixon.
Ooh, spicy.
I hated Dennis Dixon his junior year. He was so bad. So I went to that game against Arizona at home where they lost by like 30. He was arm punting, which by the way, that's going to be a theme for this list, but he was arm punting all over the field. Couldn't do fucking anything. The team was so bad and he was bad that year, man. Like he had his moments, but you know, until Chip Kelly really figured it out his senior year, the next year, like he was not good, and I did not like watching him play quarterback because that he was not fun. I got numbers. So 2,000 yards passing, 12 touchdowns, 14 interceptions that year in 12 games. 12 touchdowns in 12 games, 14 interceptions. No.
High-powered offense.
No. I think people forgot that year. Pretty quickly when that senior year started. Like when that Michigan game happened, people forgot about that junior season Dixon had real quick.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, he was hard to watch, man. That's my three.
Yeah. I'll go. All right. My number three is Jason Moss.
Jason Moss.
That's a hot take.
And it's not, it was not because of his play on the field. It was strictly just how he looked. I saw him out there and it's just like, God, this is our fucking quarterback playing. Like,
I felt that way with Brady. Brady Leaf would play.
Scenario. It's just like, God, it wasn't anything like that. I was just like, oh, just didn't like the look of him out there.
This is the best we can do, guys. Ugh. Yeah, no, I could see that. But he was the cover boy for that. Yeah, that first win over Michigan in Austin,
yeah, it wasn't
right?
anything. No, that was nothing's five. Knocking that his, was nothing's
five.
Not,
oh, that was five.
That was
okay.
Five, yeah.
All right.
Like I say, not,
well, never
not,
mind. Well, never mind. Fuck Moss, then.
I'm not knocking his play.
Moss with two A's.
Yeah with Moss. Double A also. Ugh. Look how fucking condescending is that.
Double A. You suck at quarterback. Nailed it. Okay, who you got, Ken?
My number three.
I get nothing for that fucking AMCO joke or whatever. Jesus, guys. Oh, this is a tough crowd.
That was a was a good dig. I forgot tough about crowd. That. Yeah, now I get it. I get it. It was a good one. It's good.
Tough
one.
Crowd. Jeez.
My number three is Cody Kemp.
Mm.
Yeah. Because, and this is a deeply personal list, which is fine.
Yeah. Yes.
But he started a game at the Rose Bowl.
UCLA. Yep.
UCLA that I attended.
Oh.
I bought the tickets. Oregon was going to go to the Natty. And as Dixon's knee fell apart, whatever, doesn't matter. So they lost.
It's not just that they lost, though.
They lost 16-0.
Oof.
And he was 6 of 23
Oof.
For 52 yards Oof. And two interceptions.
Oof.
And he wasn't the worst quarterback in the game.
Yeah.
That was UCLA's Osan Rashan, who was 0 of 7 for 0 yards, a pick. And a 2.3 quarterback rating. And he led them to a 16-0.
I remember that game. Just you're watching it the whole time thinking, please someone return a kick for a touchdown. Like, or just somebody on defense, please just score a touchdown. Because it became really clear early on that Cody Kemp wasn't going to be the guy. It's like, oh, no, he can't throw a football. Oh, this is no. Ugh. Speaking of not being able to throw a football, that brings me to my number two, Chris Harper.
You know, rotator cuff.
Yeah.
That is my number one.
Kansas State legend, Chris Harper.
Kansas State wide receiver legend.
And I almost did not put him in there because there's no way I would ever classify him as a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he couldn't throw a football.
Remember why he left Oregon? Because he didn't want to play wide receiver.
Yeah, he wanted to be.
And they wanted to move him to wide receiver. So he transfers to Kansas State, where he immediately becomes a wide receiver.
When he came in that game,
please go on about him not being able to throw, because it was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen on a football field. Well,
I forget the stat when they brought him in. Against Boise State in 08.
Boise City. Because, Boise's not a state.
Good catch. Because Boise City, I believe it was Jerron Johnson, cheap-shotted Masoli and scrambled his brains.
He did it to Ed Dixon that game, too.
And they were like, hey.
He's just throwing helmet-to-helmet hits around for everybody.
We're going to bring in this true freshman who can't throw, but now he really can't because he doesn't have a shoulder. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to run the ball. Like 47 straight times. And then we'll bring in Darren Thomas at the end. Yeah. And he'll score like 28 points in 3 minutes. Just to get everyone's dick a little erect.
A lot erect, actually.
It wasn't even like, creative running plays either.
No.
It was just they must have ran the same play 12 times.
Well, that's all he could run. All he could do was the read option. That's
must
it.
Have only – yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't throw, and they figured out the fact that he couldn't throw really, really fast. And they're like, okay, we're going one-on-one everywhere. Like, corner, safeties, y'all are defensive ends now. So everybody up, they're not going to fucking try and throw a ball because he can't. He's physically incapable of it.
That was the hardest football game I've ever watched.
Yeah. I was in the crowd for that one. That was pretty tough. Pretty tough. I'll say that I think it was that year, the year before, that game against Arizona where Oregon was up by like 30 points at halftime. And then Arizona like came back and got it to like, it was like Willie Tuitama was their quarterback or something. And they came back and brought it to within a touchdown at the end. I was just like, this is fucking happening, isn't it? Like, Oregon had a 30-point lead. Like, they're going to blow it, like, in a quarter. Like, that's actually what I'm watching right now. And then fucking LeGarrette Blount ran for a touchdown at the end and saved the day. But that was almost the worst for me. No, the worst experience for me is that fucking Arizona game. Like, the same one I was talking about with Dixon that junior year. Because it was butt-ass cold that day, too. Like, freezing cold. And we're all just sitting there watching Oregon get their, like, you know, I was going to say something dirtier, but like just getting their asses handed to them.
I do remember God, Arizona had a running back that day, like Mike Thomas or some random dude.
Yeah.
But it ran for like 300 yards. But that's – I remember a friend of ours, I will not say his name, protect the innocent. We left Ski's house that morning to go to the game, and we got all the way to the Autzen Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, do we, because I'm in his ear the whole time. They quit, motherfucker. They quit. Bilotti's a loser. They quit. And we pretended to eat our tickets on the Autzen footbridge, and then they didn't taste good.
No.
So we didn't really eat them. We tried. It was, you know, performative art, but I'm glad we didn't go, because woof, they got worked.
Yeah, here it is. It was Chris Henry. Ran for 191 yards and two touchdowns. Also caught a touchdown pass. Oregon lost that game. Oregon was 7-3 going into that game and lost to 5-5 Arizona 37-10. Ugh.
Yeah. Good game.
Real good game. I'm trying to find the box score here. Let's see. There we go. So both quarterbacks played in that game. Dixon ended up 14 of 22 for 88 yards and three interceptions. Brady Leaf came in because I think they were split in time that year. He was 11 of 22 for 95 yards and an interception. Yeah.
Not great.
Who's up?
I'm up. Oh,
so now you got to do your number two.
My number two, and that's it was fucking Lockie. Just
yeah.
I was trying to be cute, not put him at number one, but he easily could have been number one.
Yeah. It's pretty tough to not have Lockie on this list. Like it really is.
It sucks because he's like a good guy too. But God,
he is a really nice kid.
But
right?
It's like, yeah. God, he's just not a football player at that level.
No. No. And it's hard to take out the element of him needing to fill in for the best quarterback in Oregon history. So it's really tough to separate those things. And I'm not separating those things. He's my number one. Like, ooh. Because again, he's a really nice guy and a really sweet dude. And by all accounts, a really good teammate and all of that stuff. But quarterback is not for him. And, you know, having to go in the situations he had to go in were really tough. But holy shit, he could not throw a football, and it really was aggravating.
He also looked like every play he was going to fuck up. He looked terrible.
Yeah,
He looked like I would if I went out against a Pac-12 school.
Yeah.
That's how he looked. He's like, oh, my God, fuck me.
Like that guy's big.
Burmeister was like that,
fucking big.
Burmeister was like that too.
Burmeister, he just had happy feet more.
Yeah. He looked intimidated.
Speaking of Burmeister, mm-hmm. That's my number two.
All right.
So let me just.
So you're doing two and one here for yourself because we just kind of jumped the gun here.
So in 2017, right? That was the year. Yeah.
Let's wax poetic Braxton Burmeister.
So Braxton Burmeister started five games that year.
Yeah.
How many yards in five games as a starter, start to finish? He wasn't pulled. Five complete games.
Put your phone down.
How many yards did he throw for?
In five games, how many yards did Burmeister throw for?
290.
I'm going to say like 378.
320.
Ugh. I went over, so that means I lose. Yep. Right?
Five starts.
Yeah.
320, and 145 of those yards were in his first start against Wazoo.
That's a good four-game stretch there.
Yeah. After that, he threw for 23, 74, 47, and 31.
23 and 31. Oh.
How do you get – how are you a –
do you remember the game against Stanford that year?
Vaguely.
All you have to know is they got killed, and he started first snap to last snap, threw the ball eight times. Because they couldn't, because he couldn't throw.
Yeah, it's the Chris Harper thing.
Do you remember his throw in the 2018 Civil War when Herbert went out at halftime and they just had him come? Do you remember his goal line throw?
No.
I don't either.
So it was, I'm spitballing a little. Let's say they snap the ball at the three.
Yeah.
He gets it. He rolls out, throws from what? Probably about the 8 yard line.
Right.
He threw it to someone who looked wide open from about the 8. And when it got to about the 2 yard line, it just hit the ground.
Yes, that was a sinker.
Yes. Look it up.
A sinker ball thrower.
And,
a little slide piece.
Andrew Nemec, I remember that. I mean, that guy, that's a different story. But he had this just super snarky tweet about it. And it was so rude because they're college kids.
Yeah.
But it was such a bad throw. I was like, not rude enough. Not rude enough. He threw the ball 6 yards and it just fell like gravity deceased.
That's my question about Burmeister. Is like he's a four-star recruit somehow. And it goes back to my thing about, you know, people breaking down these high school kids who are going into college as if they're these elite throwers. And then they get into college and they start working out better. They start working with better coaches. They start, you know, learning more things about reading defenses. And yet they cannot throw a fucking football anymore. Or maybe they never could and they were just throwing to kids who were wide open because the teams they were playing against were terrible. But what happens to make a kid, you know, he's a grown up now. He's like 19 or 20. Like to make them not be able to throw a football anymore. Like what happens in their brain to make them suck all of a sudden? Like suck, not just suck, like to not be able to throw a ball 15 yards.
Well, 8 yards.
Remember Masoli? Remember Masoli would do that shit too?
Oh, he was the ultimate of just throwing like, you know, the guy's running a fifth, like a, you know, 10 yard out.
5 yards.
Throws
in
a
the
heater
dirt.
Into the 6 yard line. Yeah. 6 yards.
Just yeah.
As hard as he can, just a fucking bullet.
Like Joey Harrington would overthrow people by 30 yards. Masoli would underthrow them by 30 yards. And they're like right in front of him. He's just like zing. He's like throwing skipper rocks on a lake or something. Like, bro, get the football to him. But then he'd come back and throw an absolute dime like the next play. And you're like, oh, okay.
And then truck some dude the next play.
Yeah. I remember he did that against Stanford. That game where they like came back and won at the end. Where he, like, the last drive, he started out the drive with like an arm punt. Like 5 yards short of the dude. The crowd booed him. And then he comes back the next play, runs for a first down. And then throws like an absolute dime the next play and gets them into Stanford territory. They keep driving. Blunt runs in a touchdown and they win the game. But it was like he was like the most maddening fucking best quarterback to watch ever. Where do you have Masoli in your list? Is he like top five? Because we're not doing a top five Mount Rushmore list. We're not doing that shit. But I'm just
curious. Favorites or is this like
yeah favorites. Ew. Because fuck yes. Like, yeah, I have no idea. Probably Mariota, but whatever.
Yeah, he's top five.
Oh, easy, yeah.
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 Is he above Vernon Adams for you?
Yes, just because he played longer.
I think he is. I think he is, too. I really love Masoli.
I mean, if Vernon Adams was healthy that whole 2015.
Yes.
They make the playoff.
By the way, they shit on Michigan State if he's healthy.
Oh, they kill him if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they take Michigan State's place in the playoff.
Yeah.
They get killed against Alabama because they really weren't that good.
No.
Aside from V.A., DeForest,
Byron Marshall,
Addison. You know, yeah. They weren't that good. But they get there because he was magic.
He was
all up in the air, and somehow it always worked.
The swaggiest fucking quarterback that's ever played for this school.
He played with a nose ring.
Oh, my God. And then he'd go, like, pick up his kid out of the crowd after the game. Fuck, I love that guy, man.
Well, best part, he could just dunk on UW fans twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Eastern Washington and at Oregon.
Ugh. Nobody owned UW more than Vernon Adams. Ugh.
He beat OSU, too, at Eastern
He sure
Washington.
Fucking did.
Yeah.
He owns the Pacific Northwest. Jeez. I remember when they played Eastern Washington the next year or that year, and that Eastern Washington team still had Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Like, that team was like had legit players on them. Man, good times. So who is your one?
King.
Have you guys done your number ones?
Yeah, we did our ones. Yeah.
Mine was Harper. Yeah.
His was Harper and mine was Lockie. Yours is Lockie?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. My least favorite Oregon quarterback of all time.
Ooh.
He stole the job from an Oregon kid. A little town called Ontario on the eastern side of the state. This spoiled kid from Central Catholic came in and stole the job. AJ fucking Feely, Jeff Harrington, you go to hell.
Fuck you.
You suck to watch. You were only good in the last 5 minutes of fourth quarters. You suck. Go play the piano and take your crew cut and get the hell out of my state, Joey Harrington.
That's the best take I've ever heard. You know, I heard a story about how – remember that the Civil War where he threw like 5 interceptions? That earned him a nickname from somebody I knew. They just call him Princess Five Picks. They were like OSU fan, obviously. But since I heard that, I've never been able to get Princess Five Picks out of my head for Harrington. So every time I hear somebody mention him, I'm like, oh, Princess Five Picks. Cool. Speaking of arm punts, man, fuck. Jeez. He'd be rolling out, like, pepping his step, looking like he's going to hit somebody, and then fucking just shoot it 40 yards over their head. Like, first row in the stands.
I get what the Titans saw. I get what the Bengals saw. Yeah. I sort of get what the Chargers are saying. What the hell did the Lions see with Harris?
Yeah.
What did they see?
Yeah.
Probably he's a leader. Yeah, it was Mariucci. Yeah.
Mariucci, and then Millen was the GM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He did have a billboard in fucking Times Square.
Yeah, he did. That was the beginning of the Oregon marketing beast being born, was Joey Harrington in fucking Times Square. That was it. Was that 2000 or 2001?
2001.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's the year like both he and Simonton were on the cover of Sports Illustrated because Oregon and Oregon State were both really good for the first time at the same time. Yeah, fucking Joey Harrington. All right, shall we get to the trivia?
Let's do it.
All right. We got 90s basketball trivia because 90s is apparently the only era that we give a fuck about. Which is true.
Well, yeah. Who doesn't love fucking extreme oversized shorts and tattoos and cornrows?
Amen.
Fucking awesome.
That was the most fun era of basketball. It was. You had everything. Like the marketing of the 90s basketball was the best it's ever been. Like grandmama. Fuck, dude. The penny commercials. You had Space Jam. You had the Olympics. Ah, so good. Sometimes I dream. Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to actually sing. All right, let's start it. So King won last week. He's got a two-game win streak.
I want a petition for me getting the win because we had to listen to King sing that fucking song.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me.
If you win, we'll let you sing the song again.
Uh-huh. Deal. Might just let you do it anyways, just to piss off Ski. All right, question the first. Reggie Miller had an amazing 9 seconds against the Knicks in game one of a playoff series in 1995, leading them to a comeback win and the legendary mocking of Spike Lee. How many points did Reggie Miller score in those 9 seconds?
Is this me or King?
This is King.
Ten.
Incorrect. All right, Ski, your options. 7, 8, or 9?
Gotta be 9.
That is incorrect as well. It was 8 points.
Oh, he had 2 in there?
God, yeah, he had a layup. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he hit 2 free throws, too.
He hit 2 threes and then had a layup, I think. Pretty sure. Yeah. Maybe he did hit free throws.
I thought it was.
Anyway, it was 8 points. Whatever. I should probably know that if I'm giving the trivia question. But I think you'll find any trivia night you go to, the person doing the trivia doesn't know shit. They're just reading stuff.
Whatever's written on the paper.
Exactly that.
It's a fucking moots.
All right, Ski. Which big man was the only player to score more than 70 points in a game in the entire decade? He's a big man, scored more than 70 points in a game, was the only player to do that during the 90s.
I know this one.
That scored 70 in a game.
Yep, 70 or more, yep.
70 or more, yeah.
I know the backstory. No pressure.
I'm trying to remember how many did he score that night? I'm going to say David Robinson.
That is correct.
Yeah, I don't remember the amount, but that was to win the scoring title, I'm pretty sure.
It's the Clippers. I get half a point.
How many did he score?
71.
He did. He scored Clippers. 71 against the Clippers, which helped him pass Shaq for the 94 scoring title. All right, King. Latrell Sprewell was one of my favorite players from the 90s. His legacy is exactly 2 things: spinning rims on cars and choking out his coach in a practice. Who was the coach?
Philip James Carlissimo.
Yeah.
That is correct. he's got one of the best legacies in the history of sports. Man. All right, Ski.
Well, you go with his hair, too, as a third one.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Vince Carter, drafted in 98 by the Golden State Warriors, who eventually traded him to the Raptors that night in exchange for his college teammate. Who was that player?
The Clippers.
We got traded to the Raptors.
Yeah, to the Raptors.
Yeah, yeah. From the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. Fuck. Who the fuck would play for the Warriors? I got nothing.
Remember, it was his teammate in North Carolina. Okay. Yeah. King, your options.
Anton Jameson.
Yeah, that is correct. Anton Jameson. Good call.
What a bad trade.
Yeah. Yeah, not great. Well, Jameson was okay.
He obviously wasn't Vince Carter.
Yeah. And Jameson didn't exactly stay with the Warriors that long either. All right, King. The 1996 NBA draft, widely regarded as one of the best ever. But which guard won Rookie of the Year that year? 1996. So he won the 97 Rookie of the Year but he was drafted in 96.
Stephon Marbury?
Incorrect.
Aww.
So he is a guard. I'm going to give you the options here, Ski. So Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, or Steve Nash?
Rookie of the Year.
They were all drafted in 96.
Yeah. That was a good thing. I was going to guess Kerry Kittles. Rookie of the Year would have been Kobe.
Incorrect. It was Allen Iverson. So this is Ski now, right? Yeah. The first ever 8 seed to beat a 1 seed in the playoffs happened in 1994 when Denver's Dikembe Mutombo laid on the ground holding up the ball, crying in celebration. Which team did the Nuggets beat?
What year was that, you say?
94. They were a 1 seed, had the best record in the NBA going into the playoffs.
Don't choke. This one's easy.
Fuck. Utah Jazz.
Incorrect.
Seattle Supersonics.
That is correct. Sonics were very, very good.
Then the next year, Sonics.
Next year they went to the finals and pushed the Bulls, but yeah. All right, so King, you have a 3-1 lead right now.
Woohoo, I'm the Warriors, baby.
The Magic were one of those teams that really should have won a championship in the 90s. Shaq, Penny, Horace Grant. One of the reasons they didn't is because this player missed 4 consecutive free throws in game 1 of the NBA Finals against the Rockets. Who was it?
Nick Anderson.
That is correct.
God damn it. There's only 2 guys you're going to guess, Nick Anderson or Scott Skiles, right?
Yeah, or they had Byron Scott and Brian Shaw on that team, too.
Byron Scott was on that team?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Or no, or was it Dennis?
Dennis Scott.
Yeah, that was it. Okay, so King leads 4-1. He is 1 point away from just taking this whole thing. Ski, speaking of Penny Hardaway, which actor did the voice of Lil Penny in Chris his Rock. Few commercials? That is Chris Rock.
So I gotta get me out of fucking basketball, 90s basketball trivia, and give me.
All right, King, your chance to take this whole thing. All right, which player became the youngest to ever start an NBA All-Star game in '98?
Kobe Bryant.
That is correct. That is a win. That's 3 in a row, my friend. That's 3 in a row. Yeah, don't call it a comeback. I think Ski took the first 3, too.
Ooh.
Are we all knotted up now? Shit. We're gonna need our historians to like holler at us on Twitter or Facebook to tell us the actual record.
If I come back from an 0-3 deficit.
All right, we're going to need to get that song to, like, close
David,
this thing out, too.
Dave Roberts.
We got the bonus ones here. Let's see if you guys can both answer. Arvydas Sabonis, which country did he play for in the 96 Olympics?
Lithuania.
Yes. He has since been passed by Don Nelson in 2010, but which coach broke the NBA record for wins in 95?
Lenny Wilkins?
Yep. Which legendary team missed the playoffs for the first time in 2 decades in 1994?
LA Lakers.
Yes. Man, I think we know who's the king of 90s basketball here.
The only reason I know that one is because my grandpa lived in LA, uh-huh. and when Magic Johnson retired, you know, because whatever, a couple years before, he was like, it's fucking Sedell Threet's team now. Fucking Sedell Threet.
Who the fuck is Sedell Threet?
Yeah, he was a player.
Okay.
I think
that was the Cedric Ceballos era then.
I thought that was Nick Van Exel's team.
But I think the year before they missed the playoffs, I think they were the 8 seed.
Oh.
And almost beat the first-seeded Suns, who ended up losing to the Bulls.
Yeah, yeah.
Eldon Campbell, Vlade Divac, Manning the Post. Woo! Lake Show, baby.
Man, I'm just writing your name in really big letters on the paper here, because that's a big win for you.
Anthony Peeler.
Anthony
Peeler.
I'm just naming 90s Lakers now.
Yeah. A lot of underwhelming players on those Lakers teams until they got Shaq and Kobe later on.
Who was the guy from Temple they had?
Ooh.
Eddie something?
Eddie Jones.
Eddie Jones, that was it. Good call.
Yeah, Van Exel and Eddie Jones
were
going to be the new Kareem and Magic. Weird, that didn't work.
Or James Worthy,
yeah.
All right, you want to sing us out?
No.
All right. Let's see. At TSB Ski, at Jeromny. Mm-hmm. Or wait, are we saying that still?
Yeah, we're good.
Should I edit that? Okay.
No.
At TSB Ski, at Jeromny, at TSB Pod. If you have any gardening questions, please feel free to holler those out. And Yeah, if you have any corrections, we're still taking corrections. That's still a thing. So if you've listened this long to the end of the podcast and you're hearing this now, feel free to send us corrections when we fuck things up, which is basically never because we're obviously experts in everything. So, I mean, I don't know what you could possibly find. So, yeah. All right, let's go.